This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, thank you, Yvette, for that, and thank you all for being here. This is Thursday, 31 May at 5 UTC. On the agenda today, we basically have the initial stuff. Then basically in the substantive issues part, basically want to discuss the proposed recommendations, and if there's time, basically just take another look at the report. This version came out too late, plus there is some incompleteness about it, so I don't think I can call it a first reading, though I would dearly love to, but it's nearly that, and as much as we can get set in the right direction today would be good. The documents update, we've got basically these two documents going now, this report and the response to the staff questions. We'll have to get back to the staff questions, but really want to try and get this report through its first and second reading before we do that. So we had action items. We had one for me to produce the third draft, and we had one for others to review the report, make recommendations, edits, and suggest. And not too much of that happened, but I did. The schedule update, we'll look at that if we have time to see where we're at. And then basically there should be the list of other meetings and then any other business. Any changes to the agenda or comments? Great. Then let's start, and let's pull up the, if we pull up the report, version 3. So I have taken my once co-chair, now chair, now once co-rapporteur, now co-chair's recommendation to basically make this as short and to the point as possible, with most of the background information and discussions limited to the addenda. The recommendations, which were initially put in before the last meeting by Jordan, I think we talked about them a little, but didn't go through them in detail. I've done a little bit of editing on them since then, and so I'd really like to walk through those one by one. And that's on page 4. So there's the issues. We did talk through those previously. And then there's the recommendations. And I've got the copy in the screen open, and I see that there's a couple people in it also. So, okay. So recommendations. The first one was continue developing and publicizing the delegations document so that it evolves into a concise statement on the allocation of roles and responsibilities between board and staff in the ICANN organization. Anybody have any comments on that one? Is that one okay as it is, or does it need to be adjusted in some way? So I see no objections to I see a check, and I see no objections to leaving that. I see Jordan is typing. I see a check. Okay, great. So let's move on to the next one. This one is one of the ones that I stuck in. There had been a put something here remark previously, and the reason my changes don't show is because I moved things around and the change barring got too confusing, so I decided to just accept what I was sending out, even though I'm usually against accepting what I write. Yes, Pam.
Hi, thank you, Aubrey. I was just going to make a comment about recommendation 1. I have
okay.
No
thanks.
Objection. Thank you. I'm okay with that recommendation. I would like to go on further to say, perhaps add something along the lines about the organizational chart or the management chart that I can publish at the beginning of each month. I found the chart with regard to certain department, for example, the compliance department basically has Jamie Helen and then Maggie Surratt. That's it. As opposed to other departments that have very detailed further down the level in terms of staffing. I really like to see a more complete organizational chart, especially in relation to compliance or registry service or registrar service departments, because these are the functions that impact contracted parties like myself as representative of a contracted party, registry or registrar, greatly. And I do not find the transparency level or information level adequate as currently published. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thanks. Can I ask you one clarifying question and then I'll go to Klaus? Would you see that in that same bullet or would that be actually a standalone point? Asking for the regular publication of complete organizational charts or some such wording?
Either way is fine. It's just, I think it's related because if you see the organizational chart, you actually can see kind of the chain of command in each department. Then you know when you have a matter you need to escalate, then at least you know who to go to in the next, up to the next level.
Okay.
So either way is okay by me. It's just I think something I would like to bring out to this group's attention and perhaps add it as a recommendation. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Happy to hear other people on it. And Klaus, please.
Hello. Klaus, for the record. I have a comment to recommendation number two. Whilst I support the idea of a panel, and I see the reason for it. Is paragraph two not too undefined? What are the powers of this panel? How does it operate? Does it need more than four persons? For me, the reason for the panel is clear, but I'm missing the rationale and the modus operandi of that panel. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm not really quite sure where to go with the level of definition that we would need, but I see your point about saying something. I guess I question whether we need to define the specifics of how it meets and such or how it collects, but we probably need to say something about its working methodology. Does anyone else have something to add on Klaus's suggestion? Yes, Pam.
Hi, Avery. Thank you. I personally am not so sure about this recommendation. I thought staff accountability basically ultimately lies with the CEO. And with the ombudsman role, as currently it's scoped, it's pretty much limited to the issue of fairness and also does not deal with staff HR issues. And I believe the complaint officer, the recently created office, is designed solely to deal with that complaints relating to staff performance issues or how staff interacted with the community. So I'm not sure whether creating another panel, another layer of potentially something quite bureaucratic and maybe out of ombudsman's remit would really be appropriate.
Okay, thanks. This was written in response to an issue, and it was basically saying that by bringing all four of the types together, it could sort of look at problems that sort of fell in middle spaces. But, okay, so we'll have to speak about this one some more. Jordan, please.
Thanks, Jordan. Aubrey, can you hear me?
Now I can.
Yeah, sorry, I had a mouth malfunction. Jordan Carter here, for the record. The thing I was going to ask about this recommendation is what it was trying to achieve, but you've already explained how it connected. I think it is a little difficult for the Ombudsman to do this. And so I kind of, I'd be interested in seeing what other people's feedback more broadly is about this recommendation in the public comment process. But I think if in the detailed section of the report there isn't a bit more clarity about the kind of purpose and nature and the things that it wants to do, then it might be something that attracts a bit of problematic.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, in fact, it was, I believe, the Ombudsman who first suggested the idea of a three-person panel, and in the discussions, it evolved to the four. Yeah, and the section that's missing, and I'm hoping to grab a lot of that content from today's discussion, the section that is missing that comes after this one is a discussion of the recommendations. So, yeah, that would be good. So I probably should indicate that there is a question about its inclusion and such, but we can talk about it again for the reading. Pam, are you okay if we leave it in for now and go for more comments on it and more description? Yes, Pam, your hand is up.
Yes, okay. I'm okay with it, Aubrey. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anybody else? I'm seeing, have I lost the scribe? Actually, it doesn't matter, but yes, I have. Okay, going on to and thank you, Jordan, for writing into the file the possible second recommendation. Okay, the next one is, develop appropriate internal processes for ICANN staff to raise and resolve any issue they have in working with community applicants. That was basically a response to the point of, we started talking about community issues with organizational staff and ended up saying, yeah, but what about the issues we sometimes have? So it seemed appropriate to make that recommendation. Is there any other comment on it or question, edit? Okay, as I said, it'll be open for editing even after the meeting. So if you think of something it needs, please feel free to add it. Okay, going to the next one. I see a couple of people typing. Perhaps I should wait a second. Okay, from Jordan, it seems straightforward and puts the responsibility where it belongs to develop the process. Okay, and I think it is more that we clarify that the complaints office is the vehicle for staff. Patrick, and where does that go that we identify? So we're basically on this one that I just read is basically on the developing the internal process.
Yeah, okay.
It's the complaints officer.
Correct, yeah. This is Patrick, for the record. That is the mechanism. The complaints office covers that, or will cover that. So I think it's less about developing it and more of clarifying it in much in the same way that we talk about the developing and publicizing the delegations done it.
Okay. I hadn't quite – I guess I missed that part of the explanation when we had the discussion. Okay, great. Thanks. Okay. Anything else on that point? Okay. Enhance current community evaluation step in the HR process related to staff performance for managers. Staff performance. Okay. I miswrote. Let me continue reading it. Enhance current community evaluation step in the HR process related to staff performance for managers to seek input from relevant community members during annual reviews. As you'll probably remember from having looked at the performance slides that we were given, it basically talks about the second stage it actually lists community input as part of the body of material that a manager consults in doing their evaluation. So basically it just, it seems like it's in there. I'm not sure how many of us have actually seen it happen, so perhaps this is just a bullet to indicate that, you know, that there should be a certain amount of focus on that particular step. Any comments on that one? And I might have to deal with the grammar a little. Staff performance for managers. Yeah, the punctuation's not right because it looks like I'm doing staff performance of managers, or at least it leaves that ambiguous, and that's not what I mean to say. Yes, Pam.
Thank you, Aubrey. I just have a question about maybe the wording or the language being not very clear. What is the current community evaluation step? I'm not sure whether we have any community role in the current evaluation step, or is there such
yes.
evaluation step currently?
According to the slides that we received from staff, I don't know if I still have it up on my screen somewhere, but and we received those, and they're listed in our community and our document list. But on one of the slides, oh, I should have had the reference ready. Give me a second. I actually have it open somewhere. Oh, but where? Okay, there it is. It's performance management overview, and it's the slide that we do have it in our kit, but here it is. Let me put it in. It's that, and on page, it's actually quite an informative document, but anyhow, on page 10, at the end of each review period, three steps occur. The first step, staff gets an opportunity to self-evaluate. Second, managers evaluate their staff by taking into account staff self-evaluation and providing overall feedback. Feedback could have been collected over the six-month period via a variety of channels, solicited or unsolicited. And then it's manager's observation of staff performance, developmental feedback, cross-functional feedback, community feedback. So looking at this, it is at least part of the formula. Now, as I said, I have never seen it, but of course I only see one little piece of the whole thing. So maybe it does happen in places I'm not in. Or perhaps it's informal. So I think that the recommendation is kind of, let's see, a little bit more focus, maybe a little bit more formalization of that process, is kind of, so Patrick says it's practiced by some managers, but could be emphasized more in manager guidelines. And thanks. And that's kind of what I was thinking, because since they have it in their template, then as opposed to telling them they should do something they're not doing, taking the approach of saying, this is in your template, but could we see a little bit more of it, or could we see a formalization of it? Yes, Pam, your hand is up.
Thank you, Avery, for that explanation. Okay, so I think in that context, maybe it is appropriate to say to enhance the current evaluation step. But having said that, as a community member, I feel it would be more helpful if the community is made aware of what the metrics or performance metrics each department, not each individual staff member perhaps, but each department are subject to in that evaluation period. So I could actually measure the staff performance against those metrics or targets to provide more informed feedback. Otherwise, it's like everyone has different standards to how staff should perform, what their goals should be. But in other words, I would like to see I can publish each department's goals every 6 months or every 12 months. Then when I provide feedback or evaluate their performance, I can look at those goals and say, hey, do they really meet those goals and how?
Okay.
That's all.
Thank you. Any comments? Thank you. Any comments on that or any objection to adding that to the recommendation? Yes, Jordan.
Hey, I'm Avery. Jordan here. So am I a little bit louder this time? I turned my microphone up.
Yes, you're a little bit louder this time.
Okay, thanks. So I was just going to say I don't have a problem with it as long as it isn't already done. So I have a feeling that at least part of the kind of info that I mentioned is already in the operating plan, or whatever it's called, the annual plan for ICANN. So we should just check we're not recommending something that's already being done before we recommend. That's all.
Okay, I've got Patrick typing. Pam, your hand is still up. Okay, hand is down. And Pam says, Jordan, I am not sure if those goals are actually clear and measurable. And especially if you look at those goals that are in the operational plan and try to map them against the goals or the types of goals that are listed in the performance evaluation, you actually might find that it's hard to make the match as to what maps into what. Because also in that performance document that we've got, starting on page goal rating scales and descriptions, which is starting on page 14, you know, they start getting definitional about them. They talk about the various things they rate in terms of goals and behaviors. Then they get into specific staff competencies that are indeed measured against, and then manager behaviors that are measured against, and even an executive behavior that is measured against. So they do give us some of that in the general aspect on behaviors. It's the goals that would vary with the operational stuff, and I'm not sure that we could necessarily pick it out, but I'll definitely check and perhaps other people can check. I see Patrick wrote, this might be part of the reporting metrics that the org posts regularly as tracking against the strategic plan. Okay, so we should look for that and just to see, taking Jordan's caution in mind, that it makes sense to ask for it, Pam, as Pam indicated. Perhaps, though, it's not clear from the operational how we do it, so there may need to be an extra refinement step. Pam, I see you put a website in progress. Press on that. And that's the KPI. So is that, Pam, are you saying that's sufficient, or are you, or would you indicate that that's not sufficient? So those look very general to you. So you want something more specific than what's in the KPI indicators. Okay, thanks. So you wrote, Pam wrote, it's not sufficient for specifically linked to each function or staff. Then Jordan, in terms of staff accountability, I guess more specificity and clarity about what teams do is helpful. It bleeds a little into organizational performance. I'm not sure I understand what you mean there. Yes, please, Jordan.
Thanks, Avery. Just what I mean there is, you know, for general organizational performance, it's quite helpful to have high-level goals that are clear, specific, etc., and that get followed. But because ICANN is relatively large, at least by my standards, to be able to be sort of focused on staff accountability, you need a bit more specificity. So I think I'm just saying that, you know, it's on the boundary of staff accountability and organizational performance. And so we might get a little People might say, why are you worried about this? But I think there is a clear answer to that. That's what I was trying to get at.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Anything I see, Patrick? I think it may be helpful if the operating plan more clearly maps to the services and functions in the functions the organization provides to the community. So that may be another way to specify it. Okay. And Jordan, is that a new hand? Nope. Okay, great. Okay, so now we're at instigate. I guess we go to the next one, right? So, yeah, we're at instigate an information acquisition program, surveys, focus groups, info from complaints office, to allow ICANN organization to better understand its overall performance for and accountability to relevant stakeholders. So this is sort of in the metrics and data information. Any comments on this one? Give it a second. Okay, seeing no comments, I guess I can move on to the next one. And that's continue to develop the organization's culture as a high-performing, transparent, open, and accountable organization. Any comments on that? I might want to add the word multi-stakeholder and bottom-up in there somewhere. Any objection to getting those words into the sentence? I mean, we've got them in our corporate documents, so I wouldn't mind repeating them here. Yes, Klaus.
Klaus, for the record, I have no objections by adding it, but reading that, isn't that basically stating the bleeding obvious again and again? Doesn't make good reading.
I don't understand. It's boring.
I think that point is a natural point. This is a recommendation. I mean, that should be, it's overriding everything and should be there anyway. I don't think it has to be said, but maybe
okay.
It should. Maybe.
Okay, thank you. If it goes without saying, it goes without saying. After 15 years, I've never been sure that it went without saying. But, okay, yes, Patrick says he agrees that this is more of a goal. What we're trying to respond here yet, so then maybe it's not written correctly. What we've been trying to respond to is the problem, the issue we had about culture and about it not being clear always that the organization and members within the organization had the same view of the bottom-up multi-stakeholder culture that the bylaws and such expected. And so there was this whole issue, and I believe that this point was trying to respond to that. So it if it reads as a goal, then it needs to be rewritten. In terms of that. So I think continuing to develop is already indicating an action. It's not saying continue to wish, but it's saying, but perhaps it needs to be a little bit more definitive in terms of the action. I don't know. Yes, Jordan said we should be able to take it for granted, Klaus. Yeah, I wondered about that, and I drafted it. And as I said, I've known it's the case for a long time. I also know how hard it was to get it into the incorporation statement and the bylaws. So it's Yes, it goes without saying, but it often needs to be said. And then we have Patrick, so it might be more that we continue to focus on the org as effective support system for the multi-stakeholder bottom-up model. Actually, weaving that in could probably help in terms of making this more to the point. So either I or someone else can try to weave that in over the next couple of days. And Cheryl said, yes, nice words, Patrick. And thank you, Patrick. So, yes, that would actually be a good way to recast this particular comment. Any comments on recasting it that way? Okay. Okay. Then next one is improve the visibility and transparency of systems and processes related to staff accountability and performance. That's a very general statement. It kind of builds in with the rest. Any comments on that one? When I look at this one, the only thing that I would look to add to it is some notion of this being an ongoing process. And again, that maybe go without saying, but we don't want to suggest that they can that we make one improvement now and we're done. But rather would like to put in some notion of, you know, make ongoing improvement or something like that to the visibility and transparency. Okay, so then what Patrick said, for championing a culture that supports high performance, transparency, openness, and accountability. Okay, I got it. Sounds like a good sentence. Need to get it in. Okay, on this, yes, Pam.
Hi, Aubrey. I have a question about, to this group, about service level or service level agreement type of thing in to make it in one of potentially one of the recommendations. Again, I'm coming from as a contracted party. My experience seems to suggest it's all one way. When the contracted party has to do something, perform certain obligation, there's a timeline, there's a deadline. But if we were asking something of ICANN, making an inquiry, there's never a commitment to timeline. So a matter can drag on for days without a word from ICANN. For example, I have a case in the GDD portal. It was last dealt with by the staff 21 days ago. And there's no mechanism in the contract for me to say, hey, you need to respond to me or progress to the next stage within certain time. How could we build in something like that so that the commitment to excellence, to accountability is actually reciprocal rather than as a contract party, I feel it's very much one way. So it's a question to this group to see whether we can build something into this and whether it's appropriate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have a thought? This isn't one of the ones that we actually listed as an issue, though it is related to them. But it would look like it would need to be a new recommendation, that it doesn't fit into the one, any of them. So it'd basically be, word aren't coming to me at the moment. Okay, there's Patrick says, read Pam's comment, is this more about contracts language rather than staff accountability? And Pam says, not really.
Could I respond to that?
Sure, please. Oh, yeah, it's
okay,
a small group, so please discuss.
Okay, so I don't think it's a contract language issue. The contract I can have with registries and registrars, if you look at them, there's nothing about ICANN obligations. Mainly those are obligations on the part of registries or registrars. But we do, as a contracted party registry or registrar, relying on ICANN services, like registrar service, registry service, and have to deal with contractual compliance services, all those functions. So, for example, I'll give you a clear example. ICANN compliance would send me a notice, say I have to respond within 7 days. But when I have a question about a clarifying question, I ask them, it's never a timeline. I have cases that just went lost. So it's something like that. I feel if this group feel it's appropriate, we can build something. And I'm sure you might have heard something from the contractor parties about lack of response or dissatisfaction. So this is something I really would dearly like to see how this group can build something in relation to dealing with contract parties or even other non-contracted parties. There's some sort of commitment in terms of response time, kind of a service level in a commercial world where, you know, each party has to have certain timeline to respond or provide certain services, otherwise there's consequences. But in the ICANN sense, there's no such consequence. It's just matter can go on forever and not forever, for a very long time, and there's no predictability or certainty for contracted parties.
Okay. Thank you. Patrick wrote something that perhaps is a suggestion. Well, it is a suggestion, but perhaps it'll work. So perhaps the recommendation could request that ICANN evaluate its SLAs to ensure they have clear accountability mechanisms like response times, et cetera. And Jordan says, I like that rec as it is for that. Oh, no, he's referring to a previous statement. And so, yeah, put it in as a... Now, that's a great, Jordan. I was just being confused. Okay, so, Pam, does what Patrick suggested, does that begin to say it for you?
Yeah, sort of, in some way. I'm happy to maybe suggest some language for the group to consider, if that would be helpful.
Please do. Please suggest it right in the document, or you can send it to me and I'll put it in the document, you know, whichever way you want to do it. But if you just want to write it as a suggestion right into the document, that would be great. We could take what Patrick wrote and then you can amend that. But, yes, please. I've been... very much hoping for people to add things and edit. I would, if we put this one in, I would not put it as last, but perhaps as next to last. But that's a small point. Then let's read some other stuff. The underlying point seems to, this is from Jordan, the underlying point seems to be about, and then it scrolled off the screen, mutuality. Is it Pam? And then Jordan says, I can't expect people to meet reasonable times. People should expect ICANN to meet reasonable times, too. Yep, that's what I heard Pam saying. Jordan says, people equals contracted parties, community participants, etc. And Pam says, Jordan, that's the gist of it. So, yeah, I very much appreciate, if you can get something in, and that would be good. So that would add one more recommendation. And you're right, it does come against the issues that the registries put up about responsiveness. Are there other recommendations that belong there based on our discussions to date? Okay. So that covers the recommendations. I please ask people to go through them, read them. I ask people in this next week, if they can, to really do a edit and comment pass through this document. What I'd really like to do, and I know a lot of this relies on me getting my work done, and after my last push to get collectible hours by midnight tomorrow, because for me it's not quite, midnight today, I'll have more time to actually spend on it. Otherwise, I won't get paid enough for the month, and I won't have finished all my obligations for the month. But anyway, so then I'll get to it probably on Thursday, Friday. And if other people can get to it, what I'd really like to do is get to a first reading of it next week. I know we're still running a bit late. We're not going to make delivering it by the end of May, but I still want to keep moving forward as quickly as we can, if we can. So what I'd basically like to check is, as I said, I took Jordan's recommendation in terms of keeping the front matter of the report fairly short without having yet written the discussion of recommendations, a lot of which I'll take from this discussion and from other material. Basically, we'll come out to basically a 5 or 6 page report that's got a much longer addenda. And and whether we have that in a single document or split it into two makes absolutely no difference to me. Okay. Jordan says, do you want we need more discussion of the recommendations? What do you mean, please? Speak, please.
So, Abri, I think you've already answered this question, but what I was trying to get at was, like, what do you need from us, if anything, for that section? Or was I right in hearing you say you're basically going to write that up based on the conversation we've just had?
Yes. I'm going to write that up based on the conversation we had, but I do ask people to read it, review it, suggest changes, write comments, you know, et cetera, and then, you know, I'll edit it into a whole. So, yes, I plan to use the discussion today and discussions in the past as the basis for that, but to anybody that wants to add anything, please. I have shown that I am not great at getting a lot of writing time in from week to week. So anybody that takes a pass, and Jordan, you have taken so many passes and written so much of it, I'm happy for you to write more. But anyhow, so I'll sketch it out. I'll probably do that on Thursday, Friday. Do we have the right sections in the document? Is there anything now in these first 5-6 pages, including the discussions, that's missing that needs to be there? Okay, I'll take it as we're heading in the right direction. Then in the addenda, I know that I received some advice from Jordan at a point that perhaps I was putting too much information there. What I'm trying to do is basically do a show your work, you know, archive, historical collection that basically when people go back to this trying to figure out how we got to where we got, that the background information still exists. I don't feel a need to necessarily, you know, have it in the single document and happy to take people's viewpoints on whether this is one five-page document and one 20-pager or whether it's a 25, but I would like to keep a collection, and I want to make sure that we have all the right stuff in the collection, that there's nothing that's missing and that there's nothing that's too much. So comments on that as you're reading through and reviewing would be appreciated. If you know of anything now that's missing or anything that is too much, please speak up. Okay, so Patrick, if I understand, you're recommending it be two documents and that the addenda be a separate document that people can go to if they wish. That's fine. Yes. Okay, great. Thanks. It's late and I'm repeating things to make sure I understand. Okay, yeah, as I said, I'm quite happy with that. We'll take care of that once we're ready to send it on. And I'll leave them as one document now just for ease of use, but before we send it on to the full group, I'll break it into two and indicate that the first document is the one that gets included in their compendium and that the second one is not necessarily included. Okay, and Jordan says it makes it easier to read and feel less hard, even though there is the same amount of material. Yeah, it's funny like that. Anything else? As I say, I think we're getting close. Obviously, you know, we have yet to finish, and we have to give it for review, et cetera. But I think that we're getting somewhere. Anybody have anything else? A relatively quiet meeting, except for me talking too much. So if there's nothing else on the document, going back to the agenda, just quickly. So obviously the action item for me is produce draft 4, including all the other stuff I just said. And action item for everyone else remains the same. Review, make comments, edit, suggest, with a goal to having a first reading, at least of the first 5 pages. We're obviously not doing reading of the addenda, but of the 5 pages at our next meeting. Now, I'll have to adjust document for plenary readings. End of May, we did not make it. It's now, I guess, mid-June is the earliest we can make. And then we'll have to see how that works in scheduling, talking to the co-chairs. I would love to get this to the plenary at the face-to-face, says Jordan, and also says I. What are the absolute requirements? I think June 7th is the last full CCWG before that. So to get this to the plenary means we have to have decided that we can deliver by when. Yeah. Do we have to have it, does it have to have been read in the CCWG before the face-to-face, or can the face-to-face be the first reading? Okay. So I'll have to take a look at the schedule to see how we can get that in. So basically end of May is now also crossed out. And it's now basically, so if we have to, as I remember our rules, we have to do 2 readings here before we can send it on to the plenary. So that means right, so our next 2 meetings would be the first and second reading, and then we send it on to the plenary. I don't know that we make the document deadline by then. I'll have to check. Yes, we need to commit to do that, but that also means that everybody has to put in a little bit of time on it to make that happen. So Jordan says, all that needs to happen then is this group has 2 meetings in time for the plenary, which we do. I think 13 June thing would be okay, but we'll confirm. Thanks. And we make sure it's on the face-to-face agenda. Great. So, Patrick, you say you'll circle with co-chairs to make sure we are on the schedule and can make the deadline. And we have one of the co-chairs here, so that double check will probably help. Yvette, yes. Oh, I saw you were typing, I thought. Okay, got some typing going on. So this is 3 June. Oops. So. Okay, so. Oh, okay. Thank you, Yvette. And, okay, so basically, our first reading for the plenary is the face-to-face, and in terms of our meetings, 7 June is our first reading. 13 June is our second reading. And I've written that into the file. I guess we also scheduled one for 20 June, but when does the meeting start? June 25. So I guess we have one last meeting if we need it, but hopefully we can either cancel that one or we can use that one to go back to the response to staff document. But I really want to get this one finished before we, not finished, but ready for plenary before. Okay. Does anybody else have anything else? In which case, so there's no other business. With 5 minutes to go, I call this meeting adjourned. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Avery. Bye for now.
Bye for now.